الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I seek refuge in God against the accursed Satan in the name of God most gracious most merciful Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen All praise is due to God Lord of the universe Dear brothers and sisters I welcome you here to Masjid al-Nur which has been established about what, 6 years or so in this location that for some of you that want to know about this building this was originally Plymouth Church the Plymouth Congregational Church somewhere in the 1950s I think and then they moved when they amalgamated they moved across to their new church and then from process we happened to get this anyway welcome when we're finished here by the grace of God if you want to go upstairs and look at the prayers player praise you are welcome to do that just to make sure you take out your shoes before you go upstairs thank you very much so with that I will introduce representative Akeo Abdul Samad who will introduce the speakers thank you for coming
thank you Muhammad Khan the man Muhammad Khan is also the president you know of the center you know and we want to give him a hand for opening up the center It's very, very important for us to be here today, especially with things that are being said. And again, we don't want to just name names, you know, because we want to keep it very positive. But negative things are being said. We don't want to say by the Republican Party. We don't want to say by Donald Trump and Cruz and other individuals that are perpetuating division within our community. This was called together, and I want to definitely give credit, you know, to the Bernie Sanders campaign for allowing us to entertain and to use one of our great congressmen, our Muslim congressman, you know, in the United States of Minnesota, and you know, we will hear from him. But I think it's imperative that we come together as a community. To talk about unity. We can't let individuals divide us. We must be able to come together and understand our differences so our similarities have substance. We must come together and join hands across this nation and across this world as a human family so that our children will be able to grow up in a peaceful nation. And our children will be able to actualize, you know, their worth rather than it being dictated by a few. In doing that, we have several individuals, distinguished individuals, I'm proud to sit here with on a panel, and we will start off with the Rabbi Blank, and he will address us.
First of all, I'd like to also thank Muhammad Khan. It is absolutely an honor to be here and to be welcome here today. Friends, I'm not here to endorse a Jewish candidate, but rather to express solidarity with my Muslim neighbors and other religious minorities in Iowa. I believe that religious diversity is one of the greatest strengths of our community. The negative singling out of one group degrades public discourse. It injures all of us as it seeks to pull us apart. Attacks on one group hurt all of us and are plainly unacceptable today. Our greatest achievements, our greatest opportunities for personal and moral growth come when we join together. We are a state that is made up of individuals from different religious backgrounds. This aspect of our community adds to its richness. And our future lies in focusing on our unity and our ability to join together for the good of us all, not in attempts to bog us down in painful divisiveness. Thank you.
Salam alaikum, everyone. Buenos dias a todos y todas. Good morning, everyone. My name is Alejandro Faro Santis, and I'm a human being, like all of you. I just happen to be a United Methodist minister. So we're gathered here today to support our Muslim brothers and sisters and people of all faiths. As a Christian minister, I must recognize that in this country, I have a lot of Christian privilege. Today, as people of faith, we stand up and said loud and clear that Islamophobia is not compatible with Iowa values and is not compatible with the values of any faith tradition. As a Christian person, the best thing I can do when I encounter a Muslim brother or sister is to encourage him or her to be the best Muslim he or she can be. Likewise, encourage Jewish brothers and sisters to be the best people they can be, and the same with Sikhs, with Buddhists, with Wiccans, with pagans, with other Christians, with people of other faith or of no faith. All faith traditions have at their core connecting with the divine and caring for the rest of the world and all its beings. Speaking for myself, I'm not very comfortable with the word tolerance. You tolerate something that inconveniences you. You know, you tolerate a headache, or you tolerate a stomach ache. I don't want us to tolerate our Muslim brothers and sisters. I want us to love them. I want us to love everyone. Christians, for example, we're called to love everyone. So let us remember every day that we are indeed all interrelated. That's why we're gathered here today, to show Iowa that our similarities are stronger than our differences, and that love is greater than fear.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Franz Whitfield from Waterloo, Iowa, and it is certainly a privilege to be here this morning with all of my brothers and sisters. This morning, I am a Christian, and I'm glad to be here to represent. The Dalai Lama once said that the purpose of religion is to control yourself and not to criticize others. Working with people who are unfamiliar to us isn't easy. Sometimes we grow tired of accommodating. We become weary of compromise. And why are we always the ones who have to change? We say things like, why can't they give something up once in a while? Or why can't they do things our way for once? They say things like, isn't anybody thinking about us? And when the terminology of we and they and us and them makes its way into our vocabulary, a storm is brewing on the horizon. Our unity is in jeopardy. And our very identity as a unified body is in danger. Because Jesus is all about bringing people together, eliminating differences, breaking down walls of division. And so it's not us and them, but it should always be us and us. Jesus brings people together, and that's why I'm so excited about what we're doing here today. It's very important for us to remember that we don't have just a group of people meeting under one roof. It's not you people out here, it's not us people in there, nor vice versa, but it's one body all joined together as one family. We may speak different languages, but we speak with one voice. We may come from different cultures, but we are one family. Our passports may say otherwise, but we are all citizens of the same kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom of heaven. And today, when I leave here, I want to be called a real brother. I want people to notice that we love and accept people who aren't like us. We're in a unique position today. We're in a unique position to touch the entire world. We're in a unique position to touch and shape our community, to be salt and light in this city. And with our actions, we can send out a message more powerful than any sermon. We can send the message that we are a new creation, born again into the kingdom of God, viewing the world not in the old human way, but through spirit-shaded glasses. And those around us will see that we are one body, we are united, we will not divide on the basis of race, culture, or language. And people will look at us and say, wow, now there's a group of real brothers and sisters. Thank you.
In the Holy Quran, it says that We have created you into many nations and tribes to get to know one another and not despise each other. We do have differences, but the fun part about differences is to be able to reach out and experience those differences. I don't want you to look at us at this table, or look at people in this room, or look at people around and take that like, I don't see color, you know, or we are human, we all bleed the same. No, we have different cultures. You know, you have men, you have women, you have different, you know, lineage. You know, I want to know what it is to be a German American. I want to know what it is to be a Jewish American. I want to know the trials and tribulations that are going on in Israel and Palestine. I want to know your feelings and where you're at. I want to know what my Christian brothers are saying, but I want to know what a black child feels living in a city and not feeling safe. I want to know what it is for a woman to be in a situation where she has to struggle and just go for equal work, equal pay. I want to know her feelings. I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is to be different. And that way I can learn. I can learn, and then we can work together. And so when we do reach our similarities, they have so much substance. And then they will have the substance that we can continue to do what we need to do. As I get ready to introduce the speaker, there's a passage that I use when I'm teaching at one of the Christian churches. And as I give sermons at Christian churches, at Union and other churches, there's a piece in the Bible that I picked up one day, and it's the most beautiful piece. And to me, it's one of the most dynamic commandments that we have. And it's in John. And it says, how can you love me whom you can't see when you can't love your brother whom you see every day? Now, there's a little piece added on that we forget. It says, you are a liar. That's what it says in the book. You see, if we don't love one another, whom we see every day, how do we say we love God? Because God is in each and every one of us that we say we love. So we are to reach out. It's an honor to introduce not only him as a congressman, but a friend. We've been in several cities together, speaking, you know, in different communities, talking about unities across this nation. I hope someday to travel abroad with him. I hope that he sets up a peacekeeping group that goes over, you know, to Israel and to other countries. I'm looking to work hand in hand with him, and I would like you to give him a warm welcome. My Muslim brother, my brother, your brother, Congressman Keith Allen.
Well, assalamu alaikum, everybody. Peace be unto all of you. And Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad, thank you for that warm introduction. But also thank you to Rabbi Blank. Thank you to Pastor Whitfield. Thank you to Pastor Alejandro. And also thank you to our president who's convened us here today. We're coming together at a political time. There's no question about it. Our country is in the midst of the political decision-making process, and it begins right here in Iowa. And whatever's going on in Iowa, it has something to do with Des Moines, because Des Moines is the biggest town in Iowa. So you really are at the center of the political conversation right here in the United States. And there's no doubt that this particular political season has been marked in a certain kind of way. What way is that? Well, when I hear people say things like Mexico is sending criminals and drug dealers and rapists, although they throw in the caveat, some might be nice people. And then when I hear people say that, well, we don't want any refugees here. If we do, only one particular religious group would be permitted to come. And then we hear, some candidates go before Jewish audiences and say things like, you know, I'm a deal maker, you're a deal maker, you know, stuff like that, kind of conjuring stereotypes that are ugly and hopefully we'll discard, you know. And it's not just Trump. It's been a whole range of things. And amongst the uglier things have been no Muslims can come to this country and immigrate here. And other things such as this. That's not the worst thing that I've said. And Trump's not the only one who said it. I bring this up because it is the occasion that brings us together. Hmm. We're making a moral appeal to unity. We're calling upon faith leaders of all descriptions and all backgrounds to say, we can debate taxes, we can debate public spending, we can debate how we address issues of the environment, but in terms of who belongs, well, that's we're not going to debate that. Everyone does. We're simply, right, that is why you have this interfaith table assembled today, to declare clearly that there's a lot of range and a lot of room for debate, but excluding people based on their faith, based on their race, based on their national origin is simply not tolerable. Our country went through a civil war, which Iowa made great contributions to winning, by the way, lost 600,000 people to establish the simple idea that no person can own another one. Then we went to a momentous civil rights movement. Again, Iowa was in the middle of that, where we came to establish the simple idea that there were no second-class citizens in America. There is no way that we're going to dishonor the memory of people who fought so hard to slip back into that old America. People say they want to be great again. I think we're pretty great now. Hmm. We've never had such a general consensus in America that all men and women are created equal, more than now. Ask anybody who's been around for a while. This nation used to hold slaves. We used to say that you can relegate somebody to the back of the bus because of their color. We used to say you couldn't be a part of this club or go to the school because of your religion. None of that's tolerable now. If you get up and say something really bigoted, ask Don Imus, you will be run off the radio and lose your job. And guess what? That's a good thing. Because we can debate a lot of things, and we should, in a democratic country, it is okay to talk about how we address climate change, how we address immigration. But to say that somebody is disqualified from participating in the body politic because of who they are is simply not acceptable. Now, Martin Luther King has a concept he referred to as the beloved community. It was really kind of a dream, really. And Martin Luther King's imagination of a beloved community was a community in which all humanity of all colors could be unique, could maintain their unique character, but be united as a human family. We're striving for that. We are striving for that. And I just want to say thank you to Des Moines, Iowa. You helped educate my son, who went to Drake University right down the street. Thank you for entertaining my family with the Drake relays many times. Sometimes it's still pretty cold during the Drake relay, but it's always a lot of fun. You have a wonderful community, and I want to say thank you for hosting this democratic process that we hold so dear in our country. We have settled a few things. That is that it's okay to choose the faith of your choosing. It's okay to be of the ethnic group in which you are brought up and born. It doesn't make anybody better, and it doesn't make anybody worse. It's okay to have spirited debates around a whole bunch of things, but it's simply not all right to say that somebody's race or their religion disqualifies them from being a part of this community. And I want to say it, we are arm in arm, linked together, saying it. And I just want to wrap up by saying this. A few years ago, Yom Kippur and Ramadan coincided on the calendar. And at another Masjid An-Nur, a little further north, in Minneapolis, Our imam, a gentleman by the name of Makram El-Amin, and the leader of the largest synagogue in Minneapolis, a woman by the name of Marcia Zimmerman, decided to get the congregations together to break fast. The Christians said, the Muslims and the Jews are getting together? I want to see this. So they showed up. We had an interfaith community all together at a fast breaking. And first the Muslims went into the prayer area and we did our prayer as the sun was has set, which is when we can eat again. And then the Jews went to the square and they did their ritual of fast breaking. But then we noticed something really peculiar, and that was that even though about 80 people said they were coming, about 120 people showed up. The imam and the rabbi and the priest and the pastor said, we got a good problem, y'all. Some of you guys have to sit on the floor because we don't have enough chairs. Everybody received this news gladly. And they sat down and they laughed and they exchanged business cards and the kids were chasing each other. Some of the kids chasing were head on kippah. The other kids had on hijab. They were all kids though. Parents laughed and we had a wonderful evening. And I will never will forget, as we were walking out, we walked past the donation box. And the older lady who was from the Jewish community said, ah, tzedakah. I said, we call it sadaka. It's just a matter of where you put the emphasis on the syllable. But it's charity. And we recognize that we may have different ways of approaching the divine, but we all are approaching that same great spirit of benevolence and love and unity. And I just want to urge all Iowans and people all over across the United States that as some of our political leaders call us to divide, you intensify your effort to unite. Muslims, reach out to your Jewish and Christian neighbors. Buddhists, reach out to your Hindu and your Christian and your Jewish neighbors. This ugly episode that I believe we're going through, which is really appealing to the very worst in people, should be an opportunity for us to reach out in the best way. Allow this moment to inspire us to have a rebirth of interfaith connectivity. Allow this ugly moment to inspire us to our best selves. And that is what we were calling for. I'll say that I was very proud on December 15th to be at a mosque in Washington, D.C., the nation's mosque, Masjid Muhammad. And I sat there with Senator Bernie Sanders, with Rabbi, a pastor, and an interfaith table where we talked about our uniqueness, and we also talked about our similarity. And when we got up that day, we promised to each other that no matter where this national debate takes us, we are not going back to the bad old days. We're going to keep striving forward. Thank you.
We wanted to open the floor for questions from the media and also from you, the audience. So we want to, if you have a question.
You're here as part of supporting Bernie Sanders' campaign. Can you tell us why you're supporting him?
Well, let me tell you, the reason I'm here, right now, is to be part of this interfaith table. Obviously, at this political season, it's hard to do anything that is not in some way connected to politics. But that's really my purpose here. After we leave here, I will be on the stump for Bernie Sanders. And the reason why I'm supporting Bernie Sanders is because I believe he has the clearest view of what is ailing average working Americans, which is 40 years of stagnant pay, which is trade deals that have offshore jobs, which is women have not been paid pay for equal work, which is that climate change is not being addressed quickly enough. We're not converting to that green economy as fast enough, and I believe his leadership would take us there. I think Bernie Sanders is the best candidate to make sure that Wall Street returned to its intended purpose, which is to be a connector between investors and businesses. they got off track and became sort of just this casino that was more about making money than making connections between people who had money to invest in companies that needed investment. He can help them get back where they should be by adding greater amount of accountability. So that's what I'm going to be doing. We're going to be talking about all these things. But I'm just really so excited to be in the middle of this grand American experiment. And again, you know, the thing about democracy is we're doing this thing without a net. You know what I mean? If we mess it up, there's nobody going to save us, right? Mm. This country can veer in an ugly direction if Americans who love it will not stand up and declare that we're going to be with each other. Mm. And that there are a lot of things we can debate about, but who belongs is not one of them. Mm. And so thank you for your question, ma'am.
What's a good concrete way those of us in pretty white Iowa and pretty Christian Iowa and so forth can reach out to our, you know, the Muslim community? And if, you know, what's some concrete thoughts about that?
Well, I would say, just before you leave here today, grab somebody who is in a different faith tradition as yourself. See, you already ahead of the game. And just say, look, when are we going to get together? And let's sit down and have a real conversation about, you know, what do your folks do? Here's what our folks do. What do your folks do? I mean, my two friends here, they both hail from Somalia. I have a feeling that probably the Somali kitchen, the Somali artistic tradition, Somali music might be a little bit different from maybe what you grew up with. And they are not familiar with what you grew up with. And so both can get together and share. And that goes back to the point that Akeo was saying. You know, our diversity is not something to be afraid of. It actually makes life interesting. You know? And so I would say reach out by all means. Now, if you live in a community where maybe there's not too many Muslims, there's probably some Jews. And if you live in a community where there's everybody's Christian, well, there's probably some Catholics and some Protestants. I mean, find a way to get together with somebody who just has a slightly different approach than you do and get to understand them. And in that connectivity, you know, figure out how we can move forward together. But do not just sit up in your comfort zone,
yeah.
Right? Is that right? Saying, oh, why do we have to change? You know, break out of that comfort zone.
That's right.
And expose yourself to something new. You might learn something.
I want to ask a question about quite a controversy going on in the country about what we call terrorism.
Right.
And I'm so proud of the president and the three Democratic presidential candidates who refuse to use the word radical Islam. The Republicans, on the other hand, say they're not calling it what it is. I'd just like your take on that.
Well, first of all, what it is people who believe they can murder other people because of whatever they might believe. This is a belief that we don't share at this table. We believe that if you have a strongly firmly held conviction, that you should talk it out, maybe you can vote it out. And if you can't do either one of those things, you need to leave each other alone. But to go harm someone else is simply not tolerable. Now, the truth is, as the Democratic candidates have correctly identified, and so has President Obama, this sadly comes in all shapes and sizes. I mean, when Dylann Roof said, I'm going to murder you because you're black, didn't have anything, there was no Muslims in the room. When the guy in Mr. Deer in Planned Parenthood decided to go on a murderous rampage, that had nothing to do with Islam. The point is that these people, and some of them do claim Islam, who kill to push their views, they are the ones who all of us need to unite against. That is what we should be doing. Now, you ask a question, why is this term radical Islam not preferred? It's because it's the same way that you don't want to talk about drunken Irishmen or criminal blacks, or, you know, you put these modifiers in addition, connect them to an ethnicity, and in the mind of people listening, those two things sort of get connected, right? So do we really want to take a stereotype and an ethnic group and bind them together so that people who have nothing to do with that are somehow tossed into the batch. I don't think that's what we want to do. Let's call it what it is, which is murderous extremism, and confront it together. And I will just add one more thing. And I think there's a lot of people in this room. When ISIS starts killing folk, you know what religious identification most of their murder victims have? Muslim. 92%. And when people go into the field to fight them, do you know what religious identity those people who are fighting ISIS have mostly? Islam too. So when somebody is joining you to fight these terrorists, why do you alienate them? My son is a Muslim, and he's also active duty Army. If he ever gets deployed to that region of the world, and I hope he does not, but if he ever does, I want the people standing next to him who might be from Kuwait or Saudi Arabia to feel good about their partnership, not looking at him like, you said bad things about us. You see what I'm saying? So thank you for the question. I think it's a very important question you asked, because it's really what's going on these days. We need clarity on this point. Thank you, sir.
Also, just to add to that just a little bit, when you hear the word term jihad, the greatest jihad in Islam is called jihad of nafs, jihad of self. That's the greatest jihad that we have, is when we struggle with self to better ourselves and to go forward. Any other questions?
I want to thank everybody.
We want to thank everybody, but you know, one of the things about press conferences and rallies and stuff, you should always leave with an assignment. You know, you can't leave without having an assignment. So, and I think the congressman, you know, in answering your question, you know, if you've never been to a mosque, you need to go to a mosque. The mosque, there's 7 mosques in the city of Des Moines. 7. So that means you can go to a mosque at Jummah prayer, and Jummah starts at 12:30, and it lasts for a half an hour. So you can take your lunch early, or just come to the mosque, or come to one of the prayers. Muslims come and pray 5 times a day. Or go to a synagogue. If you've never been to a synagogue, then you need to go to a synagogue. You know, but you need to reach out. You know, if you've never been to the Latino banquet festival, you need to go to the Latino festival, the festivals that come on. But here's the greatest assignment for this. For years, we've been thinking that wouldn't it be awesome if the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim community with other religious communities got together and actually collected food in a semi-truck and went into a poor community and distributed the food together without any literature, but just hand in hand, and gave their food out. Now that would be an assignment, and that would send a message around the world how we can come together to serve humanity. We want to thank everyone for coming. Again, we want to thank Muhammad Khan, we want to thank our congressman, and we want to thank all our speakers, but we also want to thank you. Let's join together, and let's hopefully that when we come together this time next year, my beloved brother from another mother, Brother Mark Finnessy, that we are actually giving out food into Oak Ridge or to a community that's in need. God bless everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Good job, man. Good job.